By a show of hands, how many of you, when you're spending time with somebody else, a loved one, feel most connected when you can just talk your little heart out? And it's just like when you're together, you're just talking. Yep. Let's go. Let's get those hands up. I'm looking at some of you like, I know you. I know it's you. And I know the rest of us that we feel most connected when we're with our loved one and there's a lot of silence, right? We're just maybe participating in a hobby or whatever the case may be, but there doesn't have to be much said. So the beautiful part about this is that with God and spending time with God, you get to be yourself in that way, and you're going to get the most out of your relationship with God that way. For those of us that just like to sit there in silence and meditate and be present with one another, he fills us that way. And for those of us that want to, you know, talk about everything and share everything and all our hopes and dreams and everything that happened at the supermarket earlier, he's there for that too, right? And so as we continue on in our series, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ, today is part 11. Jesus prioritizes alone time with the Father above all else, okay? He prioritizes alone time with the Father above all else. And of course, you know, we're doing our best to put together the four Gospels in a chronological order as best we can. It's not going to be perfect. And today's reading comes out of Mark 1, 35 through 39, and Luke 4, 42 through 44. So we're going to start off with Mark 1, 35, which says, "Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. The crowd searched everywhere for him, and when they finally found him, they said, 'Everyone is looking for you.' And they begged him not to leave them. But he replied, 'I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because that is why I was sent.' So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons." So if you remember, I know last week we were concentrating on understanding the differences in the Gospels, perspectives, focuses, but how they all paint the most vivid, realistic picture of who Jesus is. But I don't want us to also miss what was going on in those portions of text we read last week. You know, Jesus is teaching, he's casting out demons, he goes to Simon's home, he heals his mother-in-law. And then everybody hears about it. They're jam-packing the house. They're bringing everyone that's sick and demon-possessed. He's working all night long. For those of you that enjoy The Chosen and see The Chosen, we get very good idea of the just the strain it takes on a person to do all this, right? And so, number one, when we talk about alone time with the Father, which is our title today, we're talking about prayer with God. But I'm also using alone time because I want us to understand there is freedom and diversity in the way we exercise prayer with God. So just a couple of things I want us to know. This is not an endless list or a thorough list. It's just a small list of what I want you to understand when I'm using the word prayer today. So prayer, as basic as it gets, is communicating with God. One of the things I love about prayer, and especially listening prayer, is that it allows you to go from hearing about God to hearing from God. And prayer, as we read in the scripture, transports us to the throne room of heaven and brings us into the presence of our loving God. Prayer moves the heart of him who moves the world. And prayer does not result in a less busy life. The result is a less busy heart and a less busy mind, despite the busyness of life. Okay? And then for those of us, you know, I know we're all at different starting points in our walk with Jesus. So, you know, if prayer is just something that's difficult for you right now, alone, the concept of alone time with God is difficult, I want to let you know the only way to pray incorrectly, when you are intentionally creating alone time to be with the one true God, who is the God of the Bible, and who exists in the Trinity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is to not do it at all. That's the only way you mess up prayer to the one true God. Don't do it. Then I can tell you, you're wrong. All right. So as we think about the toll of Jesus' ministry, and you know, we're at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus does something very characteristic of himself, which is he is about to model through his life what his value, one of his values, or what his kingdom values are. And so principle number one today tells us prioritizing intentional and consistent alone time with God is the entry point to an ever-growing intimate relationship with him. So as we see in Mark 1:35, before daybreak, so we just talked about it, he's healing people all night long. I don't even think he probably went to bed that night. But before daybreak, right, when he finally is done with the last of them and everybody's gone home, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. So the number one thing I want you to know here is that isolated alone time with God is not just going to magically happen. Okay? It's not. You can't just wait like, oh, you know, life is going to slow down. Like, whose life has ever slowed down here with every year that passes? Doesn't work that way. That's not, it speeds up, right? So the reality, and this is the hardest part about why many of us struggle with prayer or we don't pray like we know we should, is because we must take time away from other things that are important and good. We must also take time away from doing things in the name of God that are good. Right? He was just healing. He was just teaching. He was just casting out demons. But his work for God does not override his alone time with God. Okay? Developing a lifestyle of intentional and consistent alone time with God in order to commune with him is one of the major markers of being a true disciple of Christ. It is what must begin to happen at a point in time, and it must be a choice that we faithfully continue to live out over time. Okay? So we've been talking, you know, as a leadership team and as a church for a while, and you know that we've been trying to get everyone on the same page of what is a disciple? How do you define disciple? And so we were using a five-facet definition. And we just in our pastor's meeting, we just adjusted it on Friday. So number one, we were saying that, you know, the real disciple follows God for the right reasons. And so we're going to tweak that. It's still true, but we're going to make it more tangible. A real disciple reads the Bible for the right reasons. We read the Bible because we want to hear from our Heavenly Father. We read the Bible because it's an investment in relationship. We read the Bible because we want everything else to fade away and for God to stay on the throne of our heart. Okay? So a real disciple reads the Bible for the right reasons, follows God on their own. That's number two. Again, if you're not putting alone time with God and you're not being intentional or consistent, are you really following God on your own? Right? And again, please understand, we know that everybody's at a different starting point. We don't say, we're not telling you, if this is not where you're at today, then you need to get out of here. We're just saying, this is the goal. This is the metric, and this is where we want to be unified. I want to be able to, and our leaders want to be able, in a matter of 2-3 months, be able to pull you aside at any point and be like, hey, remind me, what's the definition of a disciple? And we should be embodying it and having it understood as our vision for where we're going so that we can continue to evaluate ourselves through the Word of God and through the definition. Are we fulfilling our commitment to God as disciples of Christ? Okay, so again, first one, reading the Bible for the right reasons. Following God on our own is number two. Number three, constantly adjusting our lives to match what we read in the Bible. Okay, we're constantly adjusting our lives to match what we read in the Bible. Four, and this one's the complicated one, We are navigating the unknowns of life. That means when there's certain things that happen in this life that the Bible doesn't talk about. It's a problem, it's a dilemma, it's a situation. Bible doesn't tell you necessarily how to handle it, but you navigate the unknowns of life by, and you honor God while you do it. At the end of the day, you're making the best decision in faith that you know, and hopefully you have accountability within spiritual community so you can run it by your brothers and sisters, your leaders in the church, and they can be like, you know what? That definitely looks like that's a wise thing that serves God's purpose. And last of all, you will know you're a real disciple when your faith and your walk with God is powerful and authentic long after your first beloved mentor, pastor, parent, or friend that discipled you, after their influence is gone. Okay? Sometimes, you know, people become enamored with Christianity, but it's sometimes dependent on a person. It's dependent on my grandmother or grandfather or my mother or father who discipled me, or that pastor that changed, that God used to change my life. But if tragedy stroke were ever to strike that person, they would walk away. Right? We know this. How many times does a significant death, sudden death, shocking death, horrible death affect people's faith? Right? So that's the fivefold criteria for discipleship. And so intentional, consistent, alone time with God to simply be with him, right, is what following God for the right reasons and following God on your own is all about. So again, prioritizing intentional and consistent alone time with God is the entry point to an ever-growing intimate relationship with him. Principle number two, intentional, consistent alone time with God must begin and end with the written word of God. And that's why our number one is what it is, right? A real disciple reads the Bible for the right reasons. Not because we want to be a know-it-all, not because we're just trying to gain information, not because we want to have power over others, but because we want to be connected with the holy, living word of God. And of course, we used this last week, but we'll use it again, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work, right? And we know that as we've been in this phase of rediscovering and having talks about who are we? Why does Living Hope Fellowship exist? What is our mission? What is our vision? That this is the vision we've been talking about, which is we're here to equip believers to become disciples. Right? If you're just a believer, no problem. If you're a non-believer and you're not convinced yet, no problem. There's space for you. But we need you to know that the purpose of this church and why we're going to gather and what we're going to do is because we're concentrating on helping you grow and move from believer to disciple. And that's why we talked about in January of last year that we were going to start to put pressure on people, right? Appropriate pressure to start to get you to raise the bar, to raise your expectations to match those of Christ. So intentional, consistent, alone time with God must begin and end with the written word of God. Principle number three, you see I'm just going to beat intentional, consistent, alone time with you over the head, right? Like every other word, intentional, consistent. I'm going to keep doing it. Intentional, consistent, and private communion with God will enable you to focus on listening to his voice. This participation in intimacy will lead to solitary refinement through a heart-to-heart connection with divine truth. So you do realize that when people go to jail or they go to prison, that one of the hardest punishments they get is to go to solitary confinement. where there is no relationship. There is no other person. You are by yourself. You're in darkness. And yet God uses not solitary confinement, but solitary refinement through intentional, consistent, and private communion with him. See, people, when they're alone and they're dark and they're cut off from all contact, they start to go crazy. They're left alone to nothing but their thoughts. And the beauty of intentional, consistent, private communion with God is you're left alone with God. And in there, as he begins to examine you, as he begins to reveal things, as he begins to love you in ways you never thought possible, you reach a level of intimacy you didn't know was possible. And as your heart gets connected to God's heart, you start to understand the goodness behind his truths, right? Like so often people look at, non-believers will look at the Bible and be like, dude, who wants to do all that? Where's the fun in that, right? Well, you realize that it is the funnest thing when God tells you no, that it's for your own good. It's for your own good. And by saying no to these things, you get to say yes to all these things, right? No adultery. Where's the fun in that? Well, you get a happy marriage. You get a healthy family, right? And so as you look at all the no's that God says, it's to say yes to so many good, godly things that produce spiritual fruit. And again, that will only come from listening to his voice. Principle number four, intentional, consistent alone time and prayer with God will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from God. And that's what we need to understand. One of the greatest weapons you have against the sins that so easily trip you up, right? The scripture identifies it that way. They so easily beset us, means it's constantly knocking us off path. And we all have those kinds. Is that the more I spend time with the Father, the more power I receive and you receive and we receive to overcome those things, to conquer them in the name of Jesus. Number one, what I'm about to say, I don't like that this happens and I don't want you to do this. One of the things that I notice as a pastor is when people are really going through their most difficult season, and I'm not even talking about sin per se, just hard, difficult times, life is rough, or yes, it's losing the battle to sin in a particular area, people tend to not show up to church, which is the exact opposite of what God wants. Who in their right mind, the sicker they get, says, oh, man, I'm sick. I'm definitely not going to the doctor. And the sicker I get, man, I really don't need to go to the doctor. That's the opposite of what God's looking at. We need to understand he's the healer, right? He's the healer. And I believe I can say this with utmost confidence in each of you and all of you. We have a place. We have created a place. We have co-created a place with the Holy Spirit where you have people here that will genuinely love you without judging you. We understand that life is messy and hard. The battle with sin is hard. And we're willing to love you through the smelliness of that long process. Right? Do you understand what I'm saying? Sin stinks, right? And we're not going to judge you. We're going to stand next to you. And it's smelling, but we're going to act like it ain't smelling because we're going to love you. We're going to love you so much, we're not even going to smell it. Right? Kind of like you see people that work with animals, right? They work with animals day and night. Like, they stink when they come home. But you know what? They don't smell it. They've already absorbed it. That's just life. That's what we want to be, and that's where I believe we are. I believe that we've reached the place at our church where masks don't have to be worn anymore. You don't have to pretend that you're okay when you're not okay. You don't have to hide things from anybody. You can be open. You can be honest. I'm not telling you have to do it with every single person here, But I know that there's at least two or three people that you personally know here that you can open up to about your struggles and not fear being judged. And that doesn't mean we don't have proper expectations, but we're willing to love you through it. And if you don't have those two or three people minimum here, I want to encourage you, understand that is available to you. What's standing in your way is not the environment. It may be some other things you need to overcome. Principle number five, intentional, consistent alone time and prayer with God will prevent you from assuming that the thoughts in your head or the voices in your ear or the feelings in your heart or the fears in your gut are the Holy Spirit. Okay? So many times people get God's will wrong. And they're betrayed by their own heart. They're betrayed by their own mind. They're betrayed by their own feelings. And they're certainly betrayed by their fears. Until you know the voice of the Father and you know it clearly, which again, your number one tool with this is the written word of God. Number two is alone time with God. You're going to be swayed. You know, one of the things, hopefully we've been around each other enough these last 5.5 years for you to understand, like, when you see me absolutely confident in something, you know why. And you know why? Because God said so. And how many times have I also told you, I don't have a clue, right? I tell you all the time, what is God doing in this next season of our church? I don't have a clue. But I'm not telling you that out of panic or throwing up my hands, giving up. I'm telling you because I haven't heard God tell me yet. We're in the process of discovering that together. And so again, what I can assure you of is the Father's voice hasn't spoken 100% clearly to me yet, or to us yet, I think. And so, again, knowing his voice, having accountability in spiritual community will help you from assuming that the thoughts in your head, the voices in your ear, the feelings in your heart, or the fears in your gut are the Holy Spirit. Scripture tells us God will help us to know his perfect will. But it has to be through his voice and no one else's. Principle number six, intentional, consistent alone time and prayer with God will satisfy your soul because in it you will receive unconditional love from your ultimate audience of one. When you think about, right, when you think about who am I trying to please and who am I living for and why am I doing this, I really hope you just see this. That the only person you're really taking into consideration is God. And again, I'm not telling you that we're saying, oh, I'm doing what God wants to, so, you know, whatever with the rest of you. You can't do that if you're really trying to please God. Right? Because God says, love him with all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And I just missed one. And love your neighbor as yourself. Right? So if I am pleasing God, then I have to care about my neighbors. But the problem is most of us want to please our neighbors more than we want to love God. Right? We're more afraid of our neighbor or our boss or what people think about us than being right with God. That's terribly wrong. So when you understand that the only person you really have to please is God, and he's told you how to do this, in the 66 love letters that are his holy word, then you should have a lot more confidence about what you're doing. You should understand the power that's been given to you to execute what he's asking you to do. It should free you from illegitimate guilt, and it should free you from illegitimate shame. It should satisfy your soul. You know, we've often talked about how every human being has been created with a hole in their heart that only God can fill. Have you had that hole filled by the presence of God? The continuous presence of God and the continuous love of God. If not, I'm telling you, it's real and it's for you. Something's missing, but it's not because it's not real. It's because there's something that is not quite right. Let's talk about that. What's missing? And our last principle today, number 7, intentional, consistent alone time and prayer with God is how we can be empowered by the Holy Spirit to rightly deal with all the pain, suffering, challenges, and brokenness we must deal with on a daily basis. How do you deal with the pain and the suffering and the brokenness that keeps coming wave after wave after wave? Do you think it's any wonder that so many people are breaking down mentally and emotionally? Do you think it's any wonder that relationships suffer so much? It's because we're trying to deal with all the things that we cannot deal with on our own. God is meant to be the one to deal with these things in our hearts while we're going through them. And if just to back it up here, in Matthew 14:10, it says, so John, talking about John the Baptist, was beheaded in the prison. And his head was brought on a tray and given to the girl who took it to her mother. Later, John's disciples came for his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus what had happened. What did Jesus do? As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. See, what if we did this every time we had horrible news that came our way? A terrible argument that sprung up in our relationship? A catastrophe that just hit us? What if we just left everything to go be alone with God? Do you think that would make a difference? Do you think you'd still be snapping at people who don't even know what's going on in your life? Who have nothing to do with your real anger? Do you think you would keep hurting yourself as you go through the pain, as you deal with the loss, as you go through the grief? I can promise you, you will not be the same. You will not be the same if you do what Jesus does and go and be alone with the Father so that he can show you, so he can be present with you, so you can rightly deal with all the pain, suffering, challenges, and brokenness that we have to deal with. I'm going to tell you what I believe is the number one obstacle to this. The number one obstacle to this is we are oftentimes angry with God or disappointed with God or blaming God for the pain, the suffering, the challenges, and the brokenness that we're facing. Even though we would never say those words, that's who the real problem is. That's why we don't go to him when we're dealing with these things, to sit with him. How many times have you begun to get in an argument with your spouse and then you're so mad, you're like, I just need to get away, right? You don't want to get closer. It's the same thing. We just talked about, right? When sin is getting us or life is really beating on us, we disappear from church. It's the same thing. So what we need to realize is those inner thoughts and those inner feelings where we are blaming God and we're angry with God and we're frustrated by God, we need to take that to him in our alone time. We need to let him deal with that. You think he doesn't know? Do you think he doesn't know? Right? It's kind of like, you know, when teachers are dealing with smaller children And, you know, all of a sudden this child starts acting out of character and starts, you know, doing things to its peers. Usually the problem is not the peers. Usually something's going on at home. And they're working out their frustrations on somebody else. Do we not do the same? And do we not suffer from the same? How many times have you walked into work having a great day? The sun is shining. Sun is shining, you're singing, you're listening to worship music, and then somebody just gets in your face and just rips your day to shreds. And you had nothing to do with it. Am I the only one that's ever happened to? And then how many times have we done that to others? Right? It's happened to you, but how many times have you done it to others? And I'm telling you how to avoid all that. Spend intentional, consistent, alone time with God so he can empower you through his Holy Spirit to rightly deal with all of it. Okay? Because here's the reality. We just saw, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. Do you notice that it says Matthew 14, 13a? That means it's only the first half of the same. There's another half to that verse. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. Here's the second half. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. But life don't stop. Life doesn't stop. Other people don't know what you're going through. So this is why I'm telling you, intentional, consistent, alone time, you have to co-create that with God. Because other people are not going to respect it. They don't even know that you're trying to do that. You have to create it. You have to put up and take quality time, time from other good things, to focus on the one priority that should be above all things. Right? And that's why it's called Jesus Priorities Alone Time with the Father above all else. Not Jesus thinks it's a good time to spend alone time with the Father. He prioritizes it above all else. Do you know how much you will change if you prioritize God above all else? And it doesn't matter how young or how seasoned we are, no matter how many decades we've been a Christian, it's the same trap. If we're not spending time with God, then we're only listening to our fears. We're only listening to the voices of others. Certainly the enemy's going to get mixed in there. I don't know about you, but I do know about you. I know you want to hear God. I know you want to hear God. But it's not going to happen without this, right? What we do here on Sunday mornings is great. What about the other six and five-sixths of the week? I'm not God. God uses me to teach you things, but do you know he's inviting you to hear his voice for yourself? That's what I want for you? That's the preferred type of communication God has for his people? Do you know that before God chose the Levites to be his holy line of priests, he invited every person in Israel to be his priest? Do you know that we are called the royal priesthood of God in the New Testament? You know what a priest does? Serves God face to face. Hears from God personally. And spends alone time with God and prioritizes it above all else. Do you not expect that from your pastor? Right? Don't you hope that however I spend my week, that most of it goes to being alone with God? Right? I would hope so. Because then what are you going to get in return if I'm not doing that? Don't you know that that's my biggest hope for you? that you would prioritize alone time with God above all else? Because I know that as much as I love you and I want the best for you and I want to encourage you and I'm also going to call you out sometimes, I know that I can't change you. Right? You know you can't change your spouse. You know you can't change your kids. You know you can't even really change yourself the way you want to be. Right? How many of you, every time you want to change something in your life, oh, I got it. Only God can change us. Right? Only God can change us, and he does it when we prioritize him above all else. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we love you, Lord. We love you, and we love you, and we love you because unlike so many fallen fathers and mothers here on earth, unlike so many fallen sons and daughters here on earth, you want to spend time with us. You have made that a priority for you. Lord, help us to have your heart. Help us to understand the gift that it is to just commune with you, whether we're telling you and emptying out every word in our body, or we just sit in silent contemplation with you, listening for the whisper of your voice. Lord, in this season that we have, where we are reexamining why do we exist and what is it you want to do in this next season in the life of Living Hope Fellowship, Lord, I pray that every one of my brothers and sisters, before they formulate a thought, before they formulate an opinion, that they spend and invest quality alone time with you. Let all our fears fade away. Let all our prejudices and biases be stomped out by the love in your voice as you assure us of what your perfect will is. Lord, help us be transformed more and more into the image of Christ. Not only did our Lord and Savior die for our sins, but he also set the perfect model of what it looks like to walk with God on a daily basis. Lord, busyness, especially in the Bay Area, especially in 2024, is our worst enemy, Lord. It has stolen the hearts of your children away from you. And Lord, we want to take it back. Lord, help us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, redeem what is so precious to us, but that we gave away for pennies. Time is our most precious commodity. And if we love you with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength and all our mind, then surely we would invest our most valuable commodity with you, which is our time. Lord, help us to become faithful disciples and to live like faithful disciples. Help us continue to have a community here, Lord, where love and grace and kindness and forgiveness are the regular elements that are experienced here. But Lord, help us also through encouragement and truth and the right timing, which only you declare. Help us to help our brothers and sisters to know the truth, to call them to the higher bar. It's not even the higher bar, it's calling them to the real bar. Lord, we love you and we thank you because you are so, so good to us. And in reality, we have not been good to you. But we thank you because you continue to pour out your mercy and kindness and forgiveness for us. all with the expectation and the hope that we will let you continue to take possession of us through the Holy Spirit so you can make us more and more like Christ. And Lord, we see your activity among us. We do have so many praises because we are changing, but not changing by ourselves, changing through you and the power of your word and your Holy Spirit. And Lord, and as we continue to experience those things, we will gladly let everyone know that it's all because of you and that you deserve all the honor and all the glory and all the praise forever and ever. Lord, we love you and we love you and we love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.